Having said that, now to the sermon. So may I now speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have two vivid memories. One from quite a long time ago, when I was, in the words of the song, a pale young curate in Newcastle-under-Lyme. I used to visit an elderly lady who was called Mrs. Ware. She was old, she was ill. Her husband had been killed in the First World War, her only son shell-shocked. And she used to say to me over and over again, "What have I got to remember?" And the other thing that sticks in my mind, it was a newspaper headline, I can't remember which paper it was in 1982, related to the conflict in the Falklands. There was a picture of a little boy turning to his mother saying, "Why did my daddy have to die?" I think a heart-rending question. And they're questions that cannot be avoided. The questions that are constantly being asked more and more as the years go by. Are we being hypocritical? Instead of upholding the principles of the love of Christ, is the nation putting the church's signature to war as the way to solve international disputes? That's one huge question. Another huge question, do the dead heroes whom we commemorate today, do they in any sense witness what we are doing? Do they know what we're doing? Are they conscious of the thousands of special memories and commemorations being held in a small way this year in their honour throughout the country? If they are conscious of it, does the fact that they're remembered bring them some added compensation for the sacrifice that they made? I honestly don't know, but I do think that as Christians, we must believe that those who have died are in a closer relationship with God than we can ever enjoy, experiencing a life and a joy far beyond anything that we can know on earth. So we may well believe also that there is a quickening of their joy as they know themselves to be remembered. These are just some of the thoughts that always come to my mind on Remembrance Sunday. There are more. We must think about the Christian value of life. How can we commemorate Remembrance Sunday and Armistice Day? How can we commemorate those without realizing how appalling the waste of life has been in the two world war and later conflicts? It staggers me that it's possible for men to set so little value on the most basic of God's gifts, that's our very life. If you want pictures of the waste of life, just think of the World War I war graves in Flanders and France. Places like Tiepval, Tynecot, where the graves extend almost out of sight. There are so many of them. And the most moving ceremony at the Menin Gate in Ypres, when they play The Last Post. And if you can count the number of names of people who died on that gate, that memorial, then you've got more time to spare than I have. We believe, or we should believe, that life is a sacred and a supreme gift from God to be guarded by all the skills available. We should believe that when it leaves the secular sphere, it's not lost, but is transformed into a new glory, into eternal life. There's another thought. The obligation we need to feel towards those whom we remember on this day. If we live in comparative freedom and peace today, it's to them that we owe the opportunity to do so. At the lowest level, this involves us in a debt of gratitude, but surely in so much more. We wouldn't be doing our duty to those who gave up their lives for our world if we didn't do our utmost to carry on the work which they began. We don't show our gratitude merely by enjoying the privileges that they have won for us, but by striving to carry on the struggle where they were compelled to lay it down. All parts of the task of making peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." If you travel through more rural areas in France, there are a number of monuments which have engraved on them, "Here on such and such a date, the German barbarians shot," and then a list of names. And hatred and bitterness there is being perpetuated. It's understandable in a way. But we must remember that bitterness, a desire for revenge, can never lead to peace. Only love and compassion, not sentimentality, not a refusal to face facts, not a whitewashing of evil, but the effort to love and care for other people and to serve them. Every day, we sow the seeds of war or peace. We either create brotherhood and love, or we destroy it. The truth, I believe, is that the ending of war as a means of settling disputes hasn't yet been believed strongly enough to turn it from a theory into an established fact. It's as peacemakers first and foremost that we should take our part in the worship of Remembrance Sunday. Peace is the one thing that the world is crying out for, and the world needs above all. It's something positive, peace is, much more than just the end of fighting. It's not brought about because we don't like fighting or are afraid of the horrors that modern science may add to a future war. The mere fear and dislike of war will never, ever bring peace. We speak of making peace, and in doing so, we express quite unconsciously a very profound truth. Peace has to be made. It is only to be had at a price. The trouble is, so often, that men want peace without being prepared first to pay the price for it. So on this Sunday, when we remember two world wars and other later conflicts, and all those who gave up their lives in them for the sake of the rest of the world, let us all resolve to pray and work unceasingly, as far as we're able, for peace, for a lasting peace, for a peace which will in time govern and control the hearts of all men. One last point. Peace will only come when we have created a new spirit within ourselves and have learnt to make our own the mind which was in Christ Jesus. The position of peacemakers towards the end of the Beatitudes points to this. It's saying, as has so often been said, you must be somebody before you can do anything. You can't give away what you have not got yourself. If we would make peace in the world, we must first be peacemakers. And if we are to be peacemakers, then we must also be children of God. "Blessed are the peacemakers," Jesus said, "for they shall be called the children of God." Amen.